I want you to take your Bibles, if you have a copy of God's Word, and I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 2. Exodus, chapter 2. Today I'm preaching on the subject, Once Upon a Time, Baby Moses Floated in a Basket on the Nile. We're going to talk about how God took care of His people and how God was working in ways that they could not even see to rescue and deliver them, and how God works in our lives today. Well, today we're going to talk about how God never stops working. The sole survivor of a ship that crashed, a shipwreck, found himself alone on an island, and he was hoping that someone would rescue him. He signaled in every way that he could. Every morning he would wake up, and all day long he would scan on every side of the island, scanning the horizon to see if perhaps somebody might be coming to rescue him. And after weeks and weeks and weeks of doing that, he finally just gave up and decided, well, this is where I'm going to be. I better make the best of it. And so he gathered up some things and learned how to find food on the island, built himself a hut, all the things he needed to do to survive. And then one day he was out gathering up food, and as he came back to the place where his hut was, he discovered that his hut was on fire. Somehow it had caught fire and it was going up in flames, along with all of the possessions that he had gathered for himself, everything going up in flames, the smoke going higher and higher. He sat there on that island, absolutely despondent. No one had come to rescue him, and now he had lost what little he had. The next morning, a ship came up on the shore. He said, "My goodness, how did you ever find me?" They said, "We saw your smoke signal." You never know how God is working. God never stops working in our lives. And sometimes he works in ways where we think we ought to give up. We think everything's over and it's too late. And yet God is still working. We see that in the life, not only of Moses' family, but indeed in the lives of all the people of Israel, as God provided a baby whose name became Moses, and that man grew up to deliver God's people. Stand with me as we read God's Word together, beginning in verse 1 of Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages.' So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because she said, 'I drew him out of the water.'" This is the word of God. Will you join with me as we pray? Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's true. Thank you that it reminds us of who you are and how holy you are. Lord, move me out of the way, and Lord, speak to us today, God. Speak a word that will encourage your people. Speak a word that will draw people to know Jesus as Savior who do not know him in this place. And God, will give you glory and honor for all that you do. For we pray these things in Jesus' holy name. And church, if you agree with that prayer, will you say amen? Amen. You may be seated. I want us to look at this story of Moses, of his birth, of his infancy, and how he came up. And I want to talk to you about how God was working behind the scenes. Do you notice that in the text I just read, that God's name is never mentioned, not even one time. Not even one time do we see God's name mentioned in these verses. And we know that God was at work. And he raised up this man named Moses to deliver his law to his people, to lead his people out of Egyptian bondage and slavery, to lead them right up to the promised land, and to do incredible miracles through him. When we read about a man like Moses, we may look at him and the mighty way God used him, and we may think, you know, he lived a long, long time ago, far, far, far away, and his life has very little to do with my life today. But I want you to look at this text today, and I want you to think with me about three facts about Moses that are also true about you. Three facts about Moses that are also true about you. First of all, the Bible shows us this. Moses was born at the right time, and so were you. Moses was born at the right time, and so were you. Now look in verses 1 and 2 of our text. The Bible says, a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The Bible here does not tell us the name of the man and his wife, but we learn later on that the man's name was Amram and his wife's name was Jochebed. And the Bible says that he took, Amram took as his wife a Levite woman. And then the Bible says in verse 2, the woman conceived and bore a son. Now, we learn later on that this child was not their first child together. Earlier on, Amram and Jochebed had a daughter who was named Miriam, and then they had an older son whose name was Aaron. But now the third time she bears a son. And the Bible says she saw he was a fine child. The New Testament in Hebrews says that he was a beautiful child. The Hebrew word there translated fine means desirable. She looked into the eyes of that baby boy and she said, this is a desirable boy. This is a fine boy. This is a boy who was born at the right time. And yet, when you look at the circumstances under which this baby boy was born, it doesn't look like it was the right time at all. It was a dangerous time. It was a deadly time for God's people. If you look back in the beginning of the book of Exodus, you'll see the Bible tells the story of what had happened with the people of Israel in Egypt. You know the story. When the people of Israel first came to Egypt, they came there as guests of honor of Pharaoh, the name that the Egyptians gave for their ruler, their king. They called him Pharaoh. And so Pharaoh welcomed the people of Israel into his kingdom because Joseph, one of the sons of Israel, one of the sons of Jacob, had rescued the entire region from famine and starvation. And so he invited his other brothers and his dad and all of his family, and they came and they lived in Egypt. There were 70 of them when they got there. And they lived on their own in a certain place in the area of Egypt. And they grew and they grew and they grew. And the larger the people of Israel became, the more nervous the people of Egypt became. They said, there's so many of them. And eventually, a new Pharaoh arose who didn't know anything about Joseph and his heroic deeds. And so things began to happen that were very bad for the people of Israel. First, they were oppressed and they were put under heavy, heavy workloads. They became slaves in Egypt. And then when that didn't stop them from multiplying and becoming greater and greater, Pharaoh put a death sentence on every baby boy born to the house of Israel. Every baby boy was to be killed. By the way, that pattern of opposition and then oppression and then obliteration, it happened over and over again to the people of Israel. Whether we're describing Israel in Egypt during the time of Pharaoh, or whether we're describing the Jewish people in Germany under the time of Adolf Hitler, or whether we're describing the Arab world and its desire to wipe Israel off the map even today. Opposition, oppression, obliteration. And in that circumstance, this baby was born. It didn't seem like a good time for a baby to be born among the people of Israel. And yet the Bible says that Moses' mother looked into his eyes and saw that he was a fine child. He was born at just the right time. And I want to remind you of something. So were you. So were you. No matter what your family life has been, no matter what your background has been, no matter whether you wish you were older or younger, you know, most of us don't like the time when we were born. Most of us wish we were born another time. And I can prove that to you. You talk to a 7-year-old kid and say, "How old are you?" And he'll say, "I'm 7, but I'm going to be 8. He doesn't like the time that he was born. Now, the opposite is true. No 39-year-old says, "I'm 39, but I'm going to be 40. When we're little, we wish we were older. When we get older, we dig our heels in and try to hang on to our youth. Most of us don't like the time that we were born. But the truth is, you were born at just the right time. Think about this. If you were not born exactly when you were born, you wouldn't be you. If you were, I mean, at a genetic level, if you were born 2 years before, 2 months before, 2 years later, 2 months later, you wouldn't be who you are. You were born at just the right time. Here's what that means about you. You were not a mistake. I've talked to people who have told me, you know, my parents told me I was a mistake. What a terrible thing to tell you kids. You were not a mistake. And nothing about the circumstances of who you are were a mistake. You were born at the right time. The family you were born in, you may not have chosen that family for yourself. You didn't choose that family for yourself. And you may not have chosen it if you could have. But you were born in the family that God wanted you to be born in. In the place where God wanted you to be born. With the gifts that God wanted you to have. With the type of personality God wanted you to have. Everything about you. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, "I will praise you because I am skillfully and wonderfully," what's the next word? "Made." You're not an accident. You were born at the right time, just as Moses was. And God brought you to this world for a purpose. There's a second thing I want you to see that you have in common with Moses. Secondly, the Bible shows us that Moses was secure in the Lord's care, and so are you. Moses was secure in the Lord's care, and so are you. And so Jochebed looked into the eyes of her child and saw that he was a desirable child, a fine child. She hid him for 3 months. Verse 3 says, when she could hide him no longer. Eventually the time came when she couldn't hide this baby. The baby was crying. The baby was making noise. She couldn't keep it undercover that she had had this baby boy. When she could hide him no longer, the Bible says she took for him a basket. It was made of reeds, made of bulrushes. And she daubed it with tar and with oil so that it would be waterproof. And then she put the child in the basket and placed the basket among the reeds by the riverbank. And the Bible says she sent her daughter, Miriam, his sister, stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now I want you to think about that baby in a basket among the crocodiles on the River Nile. There he is, just as vulnerable as he could be. He's sealed up, and she's done the best she could, his mother has, to make sure that the basket won't sink to the bottom of the river. There he is, just sort of floating along, or maybe stuck there in among the reeds. There's no rudder on that little basket. There's no sail to take it down the river. He can't do anything about where he's going. He's just a baby sealed up in there. There he is. But God is working. God is working. God is working in that baby's life. Just think in this story about all the things God did. God brought Pharaoh's daughter down by that river at just the right moment. If she had come 2 hours earlier, 2 hours later, she might not have seen that baby there. God calls that basket to get her attention so that she sent some of her servants over to find out what was going on. And notice what the Bible says. Look down in verse 14, or down in verse 6 of the text. The Bible says, when she opened it, when Pharaoh's daughter opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. God made the baby cry at just the right time. I don't know if an angel pinched him to make him cry. I don't know what happened. I just know he cried at just the right time. Because here's what happened. When she saw the baby crying, look at what the Bible says. She had pity on him. She took compassion for him, had compassion for him when she saw that baby. Otherwise, she might not have had. And then God worked to give Miriam, his sister, wisdom to know how to answer and say, shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you? And then God gave favor to Jochebed so that Pharaoh said, well, go and get a nurse, and here comes the child's mother, who she doesn't even know is her mother. And then in verse 9, the Bible says this, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. Now, I want you to think about what's happened to Jochebed. That morning, she put the baby in the river under a death sentence. She didn't know what would happen. She didn't know if she'd even see her baby boy again. That was the beginning of the day. By the end of the day, her baby is not only safe, he's under the protection of Pharaoh's household. And not only that, he gets to come back home with her, and he can live out in the open unthreatened. And not only that, she's going to get paid for taking care of her own son. You can't get a better deal than that. Why? God was working. His name is not mentioned in all of this text, but his fingerprints are all over what was happening. A mother came into the house from working, and she saw her 7-year-old daughter sitting there on her bed reading a book. She said, honey, what have you been doing while I've been outside? She said, well, I've just mainly been sitting here reading this book. Her mother said, are you sure that's all you've been doing? She said, well, why? And her mother said, well, here's what I think you did. She said, I think you went to the kitchen and made yourself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And then I think you went into the living room and practiced your piano. And then I think you went into the television room and watched some television. And then I think you went up into Dad in my room, and I think you lay down on our bed for a while. And then I think you came in here, and now I think you're reading your book. Her daughter looked at her and said, how did you know that? She said, because you got jelly on your fingers when you were making the sandwich in the kitchen. And there's jelly all over the keyboard of the piano, and there's jelly over on the remote control in the TV room, and there's jelly on the doorknob to our bedroom, and there's jelly on our sheets, and there's jelly on that book that you're holding right there. Her fingerprints gave it away. If you look at your life, if you'll look closely enough, you can see God's fingerprints all over your life. You can see how he's worked even when you weren't paying attention to him. You can see how he's worked even when you didn't care anything about him. You are always secure when you are in the hands of the God who loves you. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Jochebed put her baby boy there in that basket, trusting the Lord. And though he was in a dangerous place, he was still safe in God's care. He was born at the right time, and so were you. He was secure in God's care, so were you. Thirdly, I want you to see this. The Bible says Moses was created for an important purpose, and so were you. Moses was created for an important purpose, and so were you. So the Bible says in verse 9, Pharaoh's daughter said to Jochebed, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I'll give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. Verse 10, when the child grew older, Jochebed brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. Don't miss that. That had to have been hard for Jochebed and Amram to bring that boy who had now begun growing up in their home, who they loved. And they bring him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she became his mother, and he became her son. As far as Pharaoh's household was concerned, Jochebed was just the nurse and the child care provider. Amram was just her husband. Moses called Pharaoh's daughter mom. Jochebed and Amram didn't even get to name their own son. She, that's Pharaoh's daughter, verse 10, she named him Moses because she said, I drew him out of the water. And from that time in his life, Moses grew up in Pharaoh's household. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 7. I don't believe this verse will appear on the screen, but I want you to see it in your Bible. Look in Acts chapter 7, verse 22. In Acts chapter 7, verse 22, Stephen is preaching his great sermon, and he's taking the people, his listeners, all the way through the history of Israel. And here's what he says in verse 22 of Acts chapter 7. It says, and he's speaking of Moses, Stephen says, "And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds." He grew up in the house of Pharaoh's daughter, and the Bible says he was instructed, he was taught in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. The phrase "the wisdom of the Egyptians" was a word that was used in ancient times to describe someone who was brilliant and well educated. He had been trained in everything you could imagine. He was trained in history. He was trained in literature. He was trained in military tactics. He was trained in mathematics. He was trained in philosophy. He was trained in geometry. He was trained in medicine. He was trained in any way you could imagine a person could be trained in those days. And by every way that he looked, by everything about him, Moses seemed to be an Egyptian. Moses is actually an Egyptian name. It's more of an Egyptian name than it is a Hebrew name. It has a Hebrew meaning. It means "I drew him out." But it's also an Egyptian name. He had an Egyptian name. He would have worn his hair like an Egyptian. He would have dressed like an Egyptian. He would have talked and thought like an Egyptian. He would have, you remember the song, "Walk Like an Egyptian"? He walked like an Egyptian. Everything about him was like an Egyptian. But listen, God used all of that for a special purpose later on. He was trained as a jurist and a legislator, and God used him to deliver his law to his people. He was trained as a military tactician. God used him to lead the people of Israel in battle. He was trained as a writer in literature and poetry, and God used him to write the first five books of the Bible. He was trained in administration and leadership, and God used him to shepherd his people, Israel, all the way out of Egypt and then through the wilderness. God used everything that had happened in Moses' life for God's own purpose. God does the same thing in your life. When you bring your life to God and just say, "God, here's my life. Use it as you please." When you bring your life to God, God will take every part of you, even the things that you would regret, even the things that you've been ashamed of, even the things you wished hadn't happened to you. God will use all of it, even the things you don't understand. Man, when I was in college, I was majoring in communication, and my goal was to work in public relations and advertising. I wanted to write and work in public relations and advertising. But I had to take all these classes, and I didn't know why I had to take them. I had to take classes on public speaking and nonverbal communication and argumentation and debate and voice and diction and all. And I'm thinking, why am I taking all of these courses about speaking? I'm not going to speak to people for a living. God knew, before I knew, the purpose for which he had created me. God knows, even before you know, the purpose for which he's created you. He's created you for an important purpose, and he is at work preparing you, even in ways you don't see, for what he has for you down the road. Well, I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me now to the end of Moses' life. Deuteronomy chapter 34. The end of Moses' life. By the way, next week we're going to talk about Moses and the parting of the Red Sea, and we'll talk about some incredible things that God did through Moses once he became a man. But we've seen Moses as a baby there in the River Nile. I want you to come with me right at the end of Moses' life. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7. The Bible says this, Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed, his vigor unabated. In other words, at the end of his life, he still saw clearly, and he still had his strength. Then in verse 10, here's the assessment of Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land. And for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of Israel. The Bible says there was nobody else like Moses. He lived to be 120 years old. D.L. Moody said this about Moses. He said he spent the first 40 years of his life in Egypt thinking he was somebody. He spent the second 40 years of his life in the desert learning that he was nobody. And he spent the last 40 years of his life discovering what God can do with a nobody. I'll show you one other passage of scripture about Moses. Everybody still with me? Say amen if you are. One other passage. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 11. How does God use everything in us? How does God use everything we've experienced, even the bad things? How does God use those things for his glory? Well, we learned that from Moses. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. The Bible says, By faith Moses, when he was grown, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. And he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. How did Moses experience God's plan for his life? How did he line himself up with how God was working? The Bible says he did two things. He refused and he chose. He refused to be part of Pharaoh's household. He refused to keep living the life of an Egyptian because that's not what God had made him to be. And he chose to identify himself with Jesus Christ, with God's people. When you refuse and when you choose, God will use. You might want to write that down somewhere. I rhymed it for you so you can remember it. When you refuse and when you choose, God will use. When you refuse to go the way of the world around you, when you choose Jesus over everything else, God will use you. He'll use you in ways you could never even imagine. There was a boy, he was about 13, 14 years old. And he just had a hard time. He had a hard time in athletics. He was pretty coordinated, but anytime a ball was thrown to him, he would just miss it. And he was pretty smart, and he knew he was smart, but he had a hard time keeping up with things that were going on in class. He'd sit really close to the front of the class, but even then he could barely see the chalkboard. In fact, that was his problem on the athletic field, and that was his problem in the classroom. He really just couldn't see. But he didn't know he couldn't see. He figured everybody else saw like he saw. Now, that's how it is when you're a kid and you're growing up and you can't see. You figure, well, everybody can't see. It's blurry for everybody. He really didn't know. And for that reason, he couldn't do all that well on the field and didn't do all that well in the class. And then one day when he was about 13 or 14, he was in the back seat of his mom and dad's car. His brother was sitting next to him. They were taking a drive through the country, and as he was looking around, he saw the trees, and they were fuzzy, and he saw the billboards, and they were blurry. And then he just looked next to him, and his mother had left her eyeglasses in the back seat. He picked them up, and just by accident, just sort of for fun, put them on. And later on, when he became a very famous man, he said, I exclaimed out so loud that my father nearly ran the car off the road. He said, because for the first time, I could see. He said he was calling things out. There are words on that billboard. He had never seen it before. There are leaves on that tree. It had just been fuzzy to him before. And from that moment, everything turned around for him. They got him some big, thick glasses. People called him Four Eyes. He didn't care. He could see. He got out on the field and suddenly he could catch the ball. He excelled in athletics because he could see. He started doing very well in school because he could see. And throughout his life, Ronald Reagan said, it was that day when he saw the world through his mother's lenses that things really turned around for him. Can I tell you something? When you see your world through your Heavenly Father's lenses, everything will change for you. He says you were born at the right time. He said that you are secure in His care. And He said that He created you for a very special, significant, important purpose. He is working, and He'll work in your life as you refuse everything else and choose Him. Will you bow your heads as we pray together? Father in heaven, how we love you and praise you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's true. Lord, we thank you for Moses. Because, Lord, we know that you used him. You spared him mightily for a special purpose. You spoke to him. Met with him. He knew you so intimately throughout his life. You used him to lay down your law and to guide your people and to prepare the way for the coming of your son, Jesus. We thank you for all those great things you did through Moses. But Lord, we also thank you that you have made us, that you have a purpose for us, that you put us on this earth at this time where we are with the gifts and the past and the influences and everything about who we are. You put us here so that we could be used for your glory. Lord, help us to see our world through your lenses. And help us to choose to follow you. We'll give you glory and we'll give you honor and praise for all that you do. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.